The Senate committee listened to testimony from officials yesterday about allegations that Russia had a hand in the 2016 presidential election. These allegations have dogged the Trump administration since the fall.
Much of the high-profile testimony came from former acting Attorney General Sally Yates, who recounted that she had warned President Trump's legal counsel that then National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn was at risk of being blackmailed by Russian officials.
David Graham is with us now. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic, where he covers U.S. politics and global news. David, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, let's play a bit of the testimony from Sally Yates yesterday.
We're concerned that the American people had been misled about the underlying conduct and what General Flynn had done. And additionally, that we weren't the only ones that knew all of this, that the Russians also knew about what General Flynn had done. And the Russians also knew that General Flynn had misled the vice president and others. Because in the media accounts, it was clear from the vice president and others that they were repeating what General Flynn had told them. And that this was a problem, because not only did we believe that the Russians knew this, but that they likely had proof of this information. And that created a compromise situation, a situation where the National Security Advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians. Finally, we told them that we were giving them all of this information so that they could take action, the action that they deemed appropriate.
Clip there from Sally Yates' testimony, then acting attorney general. And David, back us up a little into this story. Remind us what Michael Flynn, what kind of contact he had with the Russians and what kind of contact he said he had.
Well, there's a couple things going on, but the one in question here is conversations he had with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. in December, around the time when the Obama administration placed new sanctions on Russia. And Flynn spoke with the ambassador, but he said he had not discussed the sanctions. That's what he told Mike Pence and what he told others, which turned out not to be true and was ultimately the reason he got fired.
And how did it come to light that what he was saying was not true?
It's very interesting. So Sally Yates received intelligence indicating it was not true, and she wouldn't say exactly where it came from. We know that Flynn was interviewed by the FBI a couple days before she went to the White House. But it became clear to her that, in fact, Flynn was not telling the truth. And so she took that to the White House and told them he was not telling the truth. They asked him questions about it, talked about it for a while. The public didn't find out until the middle of February when the Washington Post reported it.
Right. The White House then didn't immediately dismiss Flynn after Yates went to the White House counsel to share that information. They waited, as you said, 18 days after the Washington Post published its investigation about him, about those conversations. Do we know from Yates' testimony, did it shed any light on what happened during those 18 days?
It didn't, or it didn't for most of the 18 days, because as she pointed out, she was fired shortly into that period for refusing to defend Trump's travel ban in court. And the White House hasn't really offered much of an accounting either. They said they waited to see the underlying evidence. They wanted to talk to Flynn. But they still haven't explained exactly what changed between when they found out Flynn was lying and when they decided to force him out, except that the information became public.
And so based on this testimony yesterday, David, what would you say the big remaining questions are? I know there are lots of them, but surrounding this particular testimony from Sally Yates, what are the big questions that still need answering?
I think that 18-day question is a big one. What was going on in those 18 days? There's some questions about what the White House counsel, how he reacted and what, you know, when he told Trump and who else he might have told. There's a question of why, if Flynn was potentially compromised, why he was not, more quickly had his security clearance suspended, or why he wasn't put on some sort of restriction. He was on a call with Trump and Vladimir Putin a couple days after the information came out. And then there are questions of course, you know, whether other members of the administration were also in contact with Russia, I think, and whether Flynn is sort of taking the fall here or whether he was the only one.
And Republicans, by some accounts, are closely focused on where the leaks came from about Flynn. What did Yates say? I understand she was asked directly, were you the source of the leak? What did she say?
She was. And President Trump, in fact, tweeted yesterday morning suggesting that question. And She did get it, and she said she was not the leak, and she said she didn't know where the leak had come from.
And so what does that mean in terms of the focus of the investigations about where there are these different branches right now that the questioning could go off into? One is maybe the line of questioning that some GOP members are focused on. Where did the leaks come from? Others are the ones you were suggesting about what other contacts were there, what happened in those 18 days, were there other contacts, and all those kinds of things. So where do you see the focus heading next?
I think both will continue. Republicans are going to continue to push that question, and a lot of administrations and a lot of members of Congress are often concerned about leaks like this. They tend to be a fact of life, and they happen, and there's only so much you can do to fight them. But the questions about Russian contacts and about Russian interference, I think, continue to loom larger and seem to be of greater public interest than who was doing the leaking.
We're talking with David Graham right now about former acting Attorney General Sally Yates' testimony in front of a Senate committee regarding former Trump National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn. And David, testimony didn't just stick to Russia yesterday. Yates was also questioned by Senator Ted Cruz over her refusal to uphold President Trump's travel ban. This is what ultimately led to her firing. How did that enter the line of conversation and questioning?
These are kind of the big fireworks from the day, even though they weren't on topic. You know, so Yates, like I said, she announced that she and the Justice Department would not defend Trump's travel ban, and then she was promptly fired. And several Republicans on the panel had questions for her about that. John Cornyn of Texas, and then also Ted Cruz. So you had these really interesting exchanges where both Cornyn and Yates and Cruz and Yates were going back and forth on points of law and what the appropriate role for an attorney general is and how to interpret the law, which created some amusingly sharp exchanges, I guess.
And is that it for Sally Yates? Is she done testifying, or is she going to have another role going forward?
Well, it's unclear. I think this is the only scheduled testimony, as far as I know, that she has. And, you know, there's a limit to what she can speak to because she was gone from the administration after the 30th of January. But it's possible that she could be called back. It's also possible that she'll be a factor in some of the other investigations, whether that's the FBI investigation or other congressional panels.
David Graham from The Atlantic is with us right now, and we're talking about former acting Attorney General Sally Yates' testimony in front of a Senate committee yesterday regarding former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. What did you think of the testimony yesterday? What are your thoughts on possible Russian influence in the 2016 presidential election? Do you think those allegations are founded, or do you think they're being blown out of proportion? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our conversation now about former acting Attorney General Sally Yates' testimony yesterday, looking at former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn's involvement with Russia. And David Graham of The Atlantic stays with us.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions. What did you make of that testimony and the ongoing investigation into alleged Russian interference into the 2016 presidential election? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And David, we talked about how several members of the GOP interested in finding the source of the leaks. What are Democrats after in these testimonies?
Democrats are really interested in basically embarrassing the Trump administration and finding some sort of wrongdoing. So you saw a lot of focus on what happened in that 18-day gap and why Flynn wasn't fired. And you also saw a lot of Democrats calling for either a special counsel or an independent commission to investigate Russian interference and arguing that, you know, the issue is just there's too much partisan charge for Senate panels like this to really look into it effectively.
And could you tell us a little bit about what may be going on in the wider investigation of Russian hacking?
There's a ton of stuff going on, and you've got multiple investigations, so it's a little bit hard to keep track of and keep all of it in focus at once. You have, in addition to these questions about Flynn, there are questions about Payments Flynn received both from the Turkish government as a lobbyist and also from the Russian government for a trip he made to Moscow in 2015, which he appears not to have disclosed to the government, and which he also should have requested permission for. Then there's the sort of more direct interference questions, and those are being investigated by the FBI as well as by the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. And we don't have a whole lot of material revelations in those investigations yet. You know, there's a lot of discussion and there have been a lot of reports, but we don't have a lot of hard facts to go on so far.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Peter joining us right now in Madison. Peter, hello.
Hi. I just want to say that whoever leaked this stuff about Flynn, I think really did a service for the country, because I don't think the Trump administration would have fired him unless that information went public. So I just want to say that I think that was actually a service, and if it was Sally Yates or someone at the Justice Department who leaked it, I think that's a positive thing. And the other thing I want to say is I know the media has a huge interest in this whole Russia angle, and it creates for interesting headlines because of the whole spectacle of what happened yesterday in the Senate. But I hope the Democrats don't fall into the trap of thinking that talking about Russia is really going to be that useful for them in terms of winning at the midterm elections or winning the next presidential election. I feel like they should be talking about this stuff that Bernie was talking about, Medicare for all, talking about taking away the political power from the billionaire class. So I understand from a journalist's perspective why it's an interesting story, but I hope that the Democrats don't focus on this as their strategy.
Peter, thank you for that call. And David, your response to some of Peter's thoughts there.
Well, I think on the first point, you know, one man's leaker is another man's whistleblower, and you have it in this case. It's hard to see an argument against the claim that the Trump administration might not have fired Flynn if not for the public pressure, since they knew for so long about the lie and didn't do anything until it actually became public. On the electoral strategy, you know, I think the caller has a point. It's unclear what kind of political legs this has in a direct election sense. I do think that for a lot of Democrats, there's a feeling that what they have here is another Whitewater, if not another Watergate. And they want to keep pushing and pushing because they think there's enough smoke that eventually they'll find a fire and, they could potentially even force Trump out of office. And so there's a lot of interest in pushing that among Democrats.
Well, Peter, thank you for that question. Another interesting aspect of the testimony yesterday came to light a little bit was some content about information about General Michael Flynn being distributed by allies abroad, and it was treated as a sensitive subject. How did that come up?
There's a report in The Guardian which said that as early as sometime in 2015, British intelligence had been flagging stuff about Flynn for his allies in the U.S. government. James Clapper, who's the former director of national intelligence, was asked about that. He was fairly tight-lipped. He said, you know, he couldn't speak to whether the Guardian report was correct, and he didn't know for sure. But it's another example of how there have been these questions about Flynn on a number of fronts circulating for quite a long time.
Thanks again for that call, and we're going to go next to Julia joining us in Madison. Julia, hi.
Hi. My focus is totally on Flynn in the sense that it's just my opinion that I think Flynn is the fall guy, and I think there's a bigger story behind this and that he's taking the fall for Trump and many others.
Julia, thank you for that. And David, is that a line of inquiry that's being pursued right now, Flynn as being, as Julia would say, the fall guy?
Yeah, that was what Senator Al Franken was arguing in the hearing yesterday. He was saying that he thought the reason that Trump was hesitant to fire Flynn was that, in fact, other members of the Trump administration had also been in contact with Russians, and either it was sanctioned or else it was something that they didn't want to suggest was a bad thing. We know, for example, that Attorney General Jeff Sessions had conversations with the Russian ambassador, which he didn't disclose to the Senate, and then had to, as a result, had to recuse himself from FBI investigations. We know, for example, there have been requests for information to folks like Carter Page and Paul Manafort, who are former Trump aides. So certainly there were contacts with the Russians, but whether they were untoward and what sort of contacts they were varies from person to person and is also not yet totally known.
Julia, thank you for the question. And President Trump tweeted that the testimony from Yates yesterday confirmed that, quote, there is no evidence of collusion with Russia and Trump. That's the end of the quote. What are your thoughts there, David, about Donald Trump, President Trump, weighing in on Twitter?
So he's he fired off four tweets in pretty quick succession after the hearing, which suggests he was following it very closely and maybe was not pleased with what he heard. I think in a strict sense, he's right on the collusion question. Clapper was asked whether he had seen evidence of collusion, and he said he had not, but he also admitted he didn't even know about the FBI probe that began in 2015 until FBI Director James Comey announced it last month. As for Yates, she said she couldn't speak to it. She didn't want to reveal anything in an ongoing investigation. So it is true that there was no direct evidence of collusion that came out in the hearing, but I'm not sure that's as comforting to Trump as he would like us to believe.
And speaking of FBI Director James Comey, David, there's multiple sources right now reporting that the White House has fired FBI Director James Comey. We're seeing this from CBS News and the Associated Press. I don't know, David, pretty new. Have you heard anything about that?
No, this must have happened while we were on the phone. Just this afternoon, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer was asked whether Trump still had confidence in Comey. Spicer said as far as he knew that was the case, but he hadn't talked to him recently. So that's quite a development.
We'll see if it's a developing story there. We'll be following that. And David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
David Graham's a staff writer for The Atlantic, where he covers U.S. politics and global news. And he was with us there to talk about the testimony from Sally Yates yesterday in front of a Senate committee investigating alleged Russian ties in the 2016 election.